Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Thursday, September 27, 2018. President Kiir's officials summon the U.S. ambassador to South Sudan.
Some government representatives from our Minister of Justice could not travel to attend meetings at the United Nations General Assembly because their visa was delayed. And a delayed visa is a denied visa.
And rebel leader General Thomas Cirillo explains why he refused to sign the peace deal.
Yes, we did not sign the peace deal because it did not address the root causes of the conflict in South Sudan.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Officials from the South Sudan's Ministry of Foreign Affairs have summoned the U.S. ambassador to South Sudan in protest against what officials say is a decision by the U.S. to label the ruling SPLM party as terrorist organization. Foreign Affairs officials also want the U.S. ambassador to explain why the U.S. government recently denied senior South Sudanese officials visas to attend the U.N. General Assembly. Dimo Silva Aurelio reports for VOA from Juba.
Shortly after meeting with the U.S. ambassador to South Sudan, Thomas Hasek, Foreign Affairs Ministry Undersecretary Valentino Bach told reporters in Juba that he handed a protest letter to the ambassador opposing what he says is a U.S. decision to blacklist certain government institutions as terrorist organizations and denying South Sudanese officials visas.
We have learned recently that South Sudanese, senior South Sudanese government officials wishing to travel to USA, they don't get their visas on time. Sometimes they have to wait for up to 1 month or even more than 1 month before they get the visa.
Bach says any South Sudanese who wishes to travel to the U.S. and identify himself as an SPLA or SPLM member risks being denied a travel visa by the U.S. administration. He says in some cases the SPLA or SPLM member could be allowed to travel on a waiver visa only on official missions.
It is a visa given to somebody who is not welcome in America, but because you are going on official government business, you are just exempted, you are allowed to go. But if you are not going on official government business, you will not be given a visa. This is something we are very concerned about as a country, as a sovereign entity.
Bach says last week the U.S. refused to issue visas to officials from the Ministry of Justice who wanted to attend the U.N. General Assembly meeting in New York, but did not provide the names of the officials.
Some government representatives from our Minister of Justice could not travel to attend meetings at the United Nations General Assembly because their visa was delayed. And a delayed visa is a denied visa. There is no reason why the U.S. administration should delay the issue of visa for people to wait for more than 1 month.
Bach says the U.S. government has signed an agreement with the United Nations not to impede visas issued to officials from U.N. member countries who wish to attend U.N. meetings in the U.S. A spokesman for the U.S. Embassy says the U.S. issued at least 55 travel visas to South Sudanese officials to attend the UNGA and that it looks forward to working with the South Sudan Ministry of Foreign Affairs to process more visas, but that it is a time-taking process. A week ago, Ambassador Hasek said his government will not fund the implementation of the recently signed revitalized peace agreement if the parties do not show a real commitment to implementing the agreement. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
South Sudan's Chief of Defense Forces says the army is committed to implement the permanent ceasefire stipulated in the recently signed revitalized peace agreement. Lieutenant General Gabriel Jock Riak says many killings have happened since the conflict began and the army wants peace in South Sudan. For VOA News, Manyang David Mayer reports from Juba.
Addressing a gathering last night of the Red Army Foundation, an institution created by former child soldiers in Juba, Army Chief Lieutenant General Jock said he is tired of war.
The first people there in Salam, the Nanujish.
The first people who need peace are we, the soldiers, especially me. I have 38 years in military uniform. What will I gain in all this fighting? I need to have a rest. I have participated a lot and I can't destroy or kill my own son, nor my own daughter. I can't kill my mother, nor my father, or kill my brother, nor destroy my country.
In June, South Sudan's warring parties signed a permanent ceasefire agreement in Khartoum. Since then, both sides have accused each other of violating the deal. Clashes between government forces and SPLA-IO rebels were reported in Ye River State and former Unity State held this week. Despite the fighting, General Jock is calling on the South Sudanese people not to panic when they hear of skirmishes between government and rebel forces. Speaking in Arabic, Jock says he has repeatedly ordered his forces to silence their guns.
The goal is peace. Those who have not understood it will still be made to understand it. We will continue to push our commanders to make sure our troops on the ground observe the ceasefire. We understand there are challenges of communication, and we understand the message might have not reached them in time. When there is rain, it does not stop at once. War is like that, and it will stop slowly by slowly.
Colonel Lampol Gabriel, military spokesman for the SPLA-IO, praises General Jock for promoting peace, but says Jock needs to show more actions than words.
We appreciate that, but our position that has been captured after declaration of this permanent ceasefire, they should vacate them. So we want them to leave Jamara and Kupera in Lanya immediately. That is one. Two, currently the Nkog and the Ngon, they must leave Ngon and Nkog because Ngon was captured some 3 days ago. They must leave those places and they must vacate them.
Speaking in Arabic, General Jog, who was appointed in May to lead the army after the death of James Ajongo Maut, says for peace to reign in South Sudan, it is not just about capturing or vacating places, but for people to own the peace in the way they live.
The important thing now is for the people of South Sudan to take this peace and own it in their hands. They should not leave it for the politicians. If you don't take it seriously, politicians will grab it and grill it until it becomes something different. So own this peace and hold it tightly so that people of South Sudan don't die anymore.
In July 2015, the UN Security Council imposed sanctions against General Jock and other government and SPLA-IO military commanders for allegedly obstructing peace and stability in South Sudan. For VOA News, Amanyang David Mayer in Juba.
Still on matters to do with peace, the leader of the National Salvation Front, General Thomas Cirilo Soccer, is among the leaders of the opposition groups who refused to sign the revitalized peace agreement in Addis Ababa. Soccer, along with Pagana Mum, leader of the former SPLM detainees, and Hakim Dario, chairman of the People's Democratic Movement, declined to sign the revitalized peace deal. General Soccer is with me in Studio 14. General Thomas Cirilo, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Why are you in the United States? I was expecting you to speak with me from Juba.
Speaking from Juba, that means I've signed the deal and I'm back home. We did not sign the peace agreement, which we believe did not address the root causes of the problem in South Sudan that caused all these wars and deaths and destruction of our country.
I was following the talks in Khartoum, and you left Khartoum before even the negotiations ended. Why did you leave earlier?
I left Khartoum for other businesses of the movement, and I left my delegation to continue.
But when you left, you were already pointing fingers at individuals in Khartoum. I heard you saying that the negotiation process was not transparent.
In a sense that the mediators continue to present to us the same position of Juba government that we continue to refuse.
But how was the mediation? Were you free to speak? Was there any arm twisting?
In fact, we were responding to proposals that are presented to us by the mediators. We did not even meet the Juba delegation. That was the mood of the discussion.
Now, the South Sudan Opposition Alliance signed the peace agreement on behalf of its members. Why are you distancing yourself from the revitalized peace agreement? You're a member of the South Sudan Opposition Alliance.
South Sudan Opposition Alliance, when it came together, we came on the basis of the 10 objectives that all of us agreed to come together on them. The South Sudan Opposition Alliance, the group that signed this agreement, we felt that they did not take into consideration all the objectives that we talk about. And in this agreement that they signed, this agreement did not even touch the 10 positions or 10 objectives that all of us agreed on that.
And what were these objectives? Could you explain it to our listeners? Because a lot of questions are out there. People are saying, why did you jump off the ship?
Yeah, basically, of course, number one, all of us, we agreed that in the interim, Salva Kiir and Riek Machar should not be in the interim government. Number two, we talk of federalism must be implemented in the interim government. And number three, we talk that the power should not be in concentrated in the hands of the executive. Number four, we talk of the issue of the of the states, the 32 states. We said it, people must revert back to 10 states. We talk again on the issue of justice and accountability that must be looked at seriously after all this destruction, so that the people who committed all these crimes against the people of South Sudan must be brought into book. We talk about finance and resource the management of the in our country. You remember that our resources are being looted throughout this time, and our people are left vulnerable to diseases and many things as a result of resources being looted. And of course, we talk of that people must now look into the situation of how we reconcile the country and reconcile the people of South Sudan. You know that the unity of the South Sudanese are being really put into pieces, and they want to bring the country back. So these are some of the issues that this agreement did not address, and we think that unless they are addressed, war is not going to stop in South Sudan.
And the National Salvation Front, of course, did not take part in the final signing ceremony of the agreement. What are IGAD officials telling you?
Since the agreement was signed in Addis Ababa, up to now, IGAD did not talk to us. And only we got from the messages of Troika and other people that we must continue to engage.
And so if they engage you, will you change your heart? Is there going to be a change of heart?
The issue is not change of hearts. The issue is that we have issues that to be resolved in the country. So that we don't allow our people to fight again, so that we stabilize the country and we bring back the power of the people to the people.
Let's hold on your thoughts on that, talking about the power of the people. Let's hold your thoughts on that. We'll come back to you after this break. You are tuned to South Sudan in... You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, the Speaker of the South Sudan Legislative Assembly orders lawmakers to return government vehicles. We will bring you more on that story after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
are women treated fairly in your country? Explain.
I think, to my observation, women in other way around are treated fairly, but not all that they are treated fairly. Because when we consider in the form of maybe distributing resources in form of maybe giving them job, I think they are not all that treated fairly.
In some communities, women are treated badly. Women are not recognized.
Okay, it is like women are not really, they have never get chance for going to school, especially when they were still girl. That one is also a weakness, and it's also, it is like when you are a woman, you are not capable to do anything, simply because you have never get the same chance with men.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. The Speaker of the South Sudan's Transitional National Legislative Assembly is asking former heads of parliamentary committees to hand over government cars they used during their term in office. The head of the Committee on Information, Communication and Technology says up to 10 new cars were given to former officials. Winnie Chirino reports for VOA from Juba.
Paul Ioane Bonju, the head of the Information and Technology Committee in the National Legislative Assembly, says Antonelino Makana, the Speaker of the National Legislative Assembly, issued the order 2 months ago for the former chairpersons and deputies of committees to return their official cars to the clerk of the parliament.
They are given the responsibilities, and those responsibilities are translated. They are given some vehicles to facilitate their work. But unfortunately, when their tenure comes to an end, in a set of day, handing over those vehicles in one way or another, they decided to go with those cars. And the speaker issued that order in good faith because there is a new team already doing the job, and this new team has to be facilitated.
Bonju says he is not sure if any of the 10 officials have returned the cars. He says some of the former parliamentary committee officials have already changed the vehicle documents and registered the cars in their own names. Bonju says legal action will be taken against those who have to comply with the orders.
Those who have changed the plate number of these vehicles, and probably some who might have sold these vehicles out, this one has to go through the office of our legal advisor, through the office of the clerk, for them to determine, has this happened really, that some plate numbers has been changed and some vehicles are sold? If that happens, then I think the law will take its course.
Some lawmakers are supporting Speaker Makana's order. Elizabeth Adut is the Secretary General of Women's Caucus in the National Legislative Assembly. She says South Sudan's leaders should know that official vehicles are the government's property.
After the relief from the seat, being a chairperson, the car should be returned back as a property of the government. If someone wants to own a car, he can pay it money according to the price of the car.
Joyce Dusman, chairperson of the Women's Caucus in Parliament, says personalizing official cars in South Sudan has been a habit.
The order is in place, but on my own opinion, due to our situation in South Sudan, always, when you're in position, as you are going out, you're going with everything. But if you are really through people that we need to follow law.
Early this week, Speaker Makana said some lawmakers were lobbying for his removal after he ordered them to return government cars. 2 months ago, the government paid each of the 400 lawmakers $40,000 as a car loan. For VOA News, I am Winnie Sereno in Juba.
From Juba, we move to Bor, where the Bor Municipal Council has banned the sale of local brewed alcohol this week. Producers and sellers of the local brewed alcohol in Jonglei State capital Bor will have to look for another line of work. The mayor says he has ordered security operatives to crack down on anybody selling or making locally brewed alcohol. Dengai Deng reports for VOA from Bor.
Bor Town Mayor James Guy says he has ordered security agents to arrest anyone found selling or making local brew.
We have given order for pension of local alcohol in the town. Most of youngsters, they don't work. We used to addicted to engage on alcohol. We've been working hours. So after that now, it will be cause crime, fighting.
Guy blames people inebriated on locally brewed alcohol for violent crimes being committed in Bor Town. Last week, a drunk 35-year-old man blew himself up with a hand grenade in Bor's Achangdir neighborhood. 30-year-old Akoniyai, a mother of six, brews local alcohol in Bor Town. Speaking in her native Dinka language, Yai says by brewing local alcohol, she earns money to pay for food, medicine, and school fees for our children.
Now it has been banned, it will be difficult for me to start a new business. The alternative could be for me to deal in food items, but where will someone like me, who has no money, be able to buy goods?
27-year-old Adiujok also makes and sells local alcohol for a living. Speaking in Dinka, Jok says Mayor Guy should rethink his decision.
Now I have a 6-year-old daughter who is in school. It is bad that the business of alcohol has been banned. It is not good.
A Bor resident prefers to identify himself only as Ustas Yen, says Mayor Guy has violated the citizens' right to decide what is best for them.
It's absolutely the right of the citizen in every nation, not in Thousand Sudan. You consume alcohol. If you are somebody who takes alcohol, you consume alcohol after work when you do a national duty for your own people. Stopping it, so it not help anything.
Jongkuch Ju Jongkuch, a spokesman for the Jonglei Institute for Peace, Democracy and Development, says beer and other alcohol produced in factories is supposed to be banned as well.
Concerning local products are made by the women to feed their families. So the order, I disagree with the mayor, but they have to consider the life of the local citizen here.
John Kuch is urging Mayor Guy to withdraw his order and allow a citizen to earn a living selling locally brewed alcohol without interference. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaideng, reporting from Bo Town.
If you have just joined us, I have the leader of the National Salvation Front, General Thomas Cirilo Swaka, with me in the studio to explain why he declined to sign the revitalized peace deal. General Thomas, when I last spoke to you, you were talking about giving power to the people. That sounds more philosophical. What do you mean?
It is not philosophical, as you know very well. Kiir government in South Sudan have taken every power from the people of South Sudan. It is Kiir government that decide everything. And you remember all the decrees coming from Salva Kiir. Our people are not given a chance to express their their views in a democratic manner. And we think that this time the power must be given back to the people so that people decide their destiny.
Talking about democracy, your group, the National Salvation Front, some officers released a statement saying that you don't listen to anybody in the group, you only decide on your own. That's a sign that there's no democracy in NAS.
If you remember, those officers who left us and are now in Khartoum, there was a lot of security work, let me say intelligence work by Juba, for them to sign this deal, which we refused. So, of course, they will say this kind of, arguments and so, National Salvation Front is democratic in nature.
Your critics, including President Salva Kiir, was on record calling you a regional leader when President Kiir came back from Khartoum after the initialing of the revitalized peace agreement. He has been saying that you are fighting against his tribe. What is your comment?
This is what we are telling the people of South Sudan and the world at large, that Salva Kiir is a tribal leader in South Sudan. We expect Salva Kiir, after coming from Khartoum, after signing the protocol for governance, he's supposed to talk about reconciliation of the people of South Sudan, not antagonizing tribe against tribe, region against region. So National Salvation Front is for the unity of South Sudanese, and I think Salva Kiir is not suited to be there.
I have spoken to a lot of South Sudanese. Some of them say you rebelled because of land grabbing issues in your own village in Eastern Rajaf. Can you tell us more about what is happening in Eastern Rajaf?
What is happening in South Sudan, of course, there is a lot of land grabbing, not Rajaf County alone. And I think the people in Bargazal, the people in Upper Nile, in Equatoria are complaining about this. These are some of the problems that we need them to be resolved. We think that illegal land grabbing is illegal and it's going to cause a lot of problems. Like even the 32 states, it has annexed some community lands or another communities. This one is causing us a lot of problems. So we came out of the country to resolve all these kind of issues, including in governance issues in the country. We need them to be resolved so that South Sudanese come back united and we start to build our country.
You are not part of the revitalized peace agreement. When are you going to sign this agreement?
Basically, we stated in our releases and statements that this peace agreement is not addressing the root causes of the problem, and therefore we did not sign and we are not going to be part of it. But we will continue to pursue what we feel can really, make the South Sudanese to have a sustainable peace, a peace that can really make them now to live their own lives.
I mean, your colleagues in the South Sudan Army, which is the SPLA, talk highly about you. They say you are one of the active soldiers during the 21 years of war with Sudan. You rebelled against the Kiir administration in February last year. How many towns or villages are under your control, under the control of the National Salvation Front?
The struggle is not measured by controlling towns and villages. I think National Salvation Front is people movement, struggle, and there is a lot of ways and methods that can make us achieve our goals.
And When you came to U.S. at the beginning of this month, and today is the 27th of September. You've been going from one state to another, meeting South Sudanese communities. What are you telling them?
We were telling the South Sudanese that they should not accept this peace agreement. This peace agreement is not addressing the root causes of the conflict that ruin our country. And number two, we are telling the South Sudanese to unite the ranks and file so that we come together and we struggle together to, you know, for better future for South Sudanese.
And what is your next destination? I mean, it looks like you are on the move. What is the next destination? I am hearing that you're going to Australia. Is that correct?
You know very well, in a struggle, the headquarters of every movement is not permanent. We have a mobile headquarters. So wherever I am, that is the headquarters.
So US is your headquarters currently?
Currently, yeah.
So from here, where are you going to?
For many reasons, I think it's not appropriate for me to tell you where I'm going to head now.
But General Thomas, 21 years of being in the bush, fighting, sleeping under the rains, now you want to continue with that kind of life. Are you really thinking about the future of the South Sudanese, the future of your future?
You see, human being struggle for freedom. It's not measured by time. It's not measured by, you know, the challenges that all of us are facing. We think that the human being is there always to continue struggling until they achieve their freedoms and their dignified life.
We'll leave it at that, General Thomas Cirilo Swaka. Thank you very much for accepting to be on this show.
Thank you very much.
That was General Thomas Cirilo Swaka, the leader of the National Salvation Front. Swaka has been visiting the South Sudanese community in the United States for the past 27 days. And that brings us to the end of our show for this Thursday. We now leave you with a song by the Freedom Boys from Juba. We have been listening to the Freedom Boys with their song entitled Koneta Nan Bora. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Ogonyu toron baba bondi kuri.